Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: Every good gift and every perfect gift. Chapter 10. God's gifts and calling are irrevocable, but not necessarily the specific granting of them. Romans 11, 29. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. In the various themes of the systemic teaching about Christian life, we have repeatedly mentioned that the salvation that comes from the Lord is a heavenly gift that is granted not for a price to the one who receives it but, instead, by the grace of God, as we can also remember in the following texts. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 2, 8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Furthermore, in the previous chapter, we saw that with salvation, the Lord desires that every Christian should also gladly recognize and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is given to dwell in the heart of each of God's children. For it is through the relationship with the Spirit of the Lord that a Christian 1. Can understand what is freely given to an individual in God. 2. Is strengthened in the inner man to be established in Christ and His love, as well as in the knowledge of the glory of God and the glory of Christ. 3. May come to experience and reproduce in one's life the fruit of the Holy Spirit. 4. Becomes able to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in the manifestation of a diversity of gifts, services, and achievements that are used by God so that they may result in many benefits even to other people. 5. Receives the presence of the Comforter or Helper sent by the Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ to support, teach, strengthen, and guide him or her at all times and in all places according to the will of God. For this reason, we also recall here the following text. 1 Corinthians 2, 12. Now we have received, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. On the other hand, as a crucial complement to the present theme, we believe it is prudent, before concluding it, to mention that when the subject of gifts granted by the grace of God is mentioned, there are people who try to claim that this grace or generosity of the Lord grants everything to everyone in any way or in an unrestricted manner precisely because it is given through the grace of God. And in turn, one of the aspects on which some people rely to present the claim that God supposedly gives gifts unrestrictedly is based on another claim that God supposedly does not or cannot revoke what He has given as a gift. Nevertheless, under the theme of the gospel of the grace of God, we can observe in the scriptures that the fact that God gives something through His grace does not mean that what the Lord grants is given without establishing appropriate conditions for something to be granted and remain being given to people. For example, the salvation offered by the heavenly kingdom is offered indistinctly to all human beings. On the other hand, however, it is only granted to those who receive Christ Jesus as the Lord of their life. For Christ is the very salvation. Eternal salvation is given indeed by grace and not by the price of works or sacrifices on the part of human beings. However, if someone who comes to know about the offer of the gospel of the Lord is not willing to believe in Christ and to receive Him as Lord of one's life, one actually does not want the salvation of God either. For it is not possible to dissociate Christ from salvation or the eternal salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ. Continuing yet with the matter about the free gift in Christ for justification, salvation, and life, we can see that the fact that Christ is the only way to salvation also expresses the establishment of an irrevocable gift or calling of God in Christ Jesus. Christ, as the gift of righteousness, is a condition that will never be revoked before God, even though many people do not receive it, despise it, or even reject it intensely and offensively. God's gifts, in their characteristics and the purpose for which God established them for human beings, are irrevocable. However, this does not mean that all people who receive a gift from God have an irrevocable right to this gift, even if they come to despise it, reject it, or adopt a posture that separates them from the grace of God, as exemplified below by some of the various texts of the Scriptures that address this aspect. Hebrews 6, 7-8. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it, and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessing from God, but if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. 1 Timothy 1:19. Having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected, concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck. Galatians 5:1-5. Stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. The characteristics or what is contemplated in what God calls the crown of life, the gift of God, which is everlasting life in Christ, or the gift of salvation, will never change before the Lord, for it is eternal and irrevocable. However, the person who receives this free gift of God is called to watch and take care so that one does not lose it through contempt and negligence towards God and the gift offered by the heavenly kingdom, also exemplified by some texts below. Revelation 3:11. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Jude 1:3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. 2 Thessalonians 3:1-2. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Hebrews 2:1-4. Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will? The Lord Jesus Christ stated that no one can snatch a child of God out of the hand of the Heavenly Father, but part of this process also takes place if this child of God chooses to abide in Christ, in which one is kept from one's enemies. In this way, despite the gift of the Holy Spirit having the irrevocable vocation or calling of comforting the children of God, in the sense of sustaining, strengthening, and establishing them in Christ, if a child of God voluntarily turns away from the Lord or one despises the gift offered by God, this child of God puts oneself in a position of an extreme risk of having the concession of the offered gift interrupted. Therefore, because they do not understand, or are not willing to understand, that it is the calling itself or the vocation itself and the gifts that are irrevocable, and not their granting if a person does not place oneself in the appropriate conditions to receive them and to keep them in their lives, many individuals and groups have claimed, in a distorted and even perverse way, the idea that once a gift from God is received, its granting is irrevocable or that the Lord will never remove it from that person. And those who claim that God does not revoke a gift given to a person, or that a person can depart from a gift given by the Lord, are often also those who do so in an attempt to deceive other people by saying that they are specially called by God and that the Lord will never withdraw his gift from their lives, even if they come to live a life surrendered to acts and postures contrary to the will of God. These individuals are those who fall into that group of people who justify themselves in order not to want to move away from their acts of unrighteousness. Luke 16:15. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." Also through the letter of Jude, the Lord teaches us that there are those in the world who aim to turn the grace of God into vile and perverse lewdness, using, as one of the means to try to pervert the grace of the Lord, the evil claim that God does not remove a gift given to a person. The propagation of the thought that God does not revoke gifts in the lives of people or groups is a false message and a misleading proposition of the equally misleading proposition so-called another gospel or a different gospel. An aspect addressed specifically under this title in the series on the Gospel of God. Many propositions that claim that callings and gifts are not revocable in people's lives are associated with a distorted mentality originated in the idea of consecrations and sanctifications that were carried out under the law of Moses or under the First Covenant, a law that was fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver those who were subject to this law to then render this law obsolete by the everlasting establishment of the New Covenant. Nevertheless, the very natural people of Israel experienced the revocation of the call that God had conferred on them. And this happened because it moved away from God's vocation to be a people by whom God would bless all nations, and it did it also by wanting the Messiah for itself only and not for the people of all other peoples. From the resurrection of Christ, God's calling to announce salvation to all nations passed to spiritual Israel, to Jerusalem from above, or to the living church of the Lord Jesus Christ, in which both the Jew and the Greek can see the fulfillment of this calling of God to bless all nations, peoples, tribes, their families, and their individuals. An aspect also addressed under the themes the foolishness of the preaching of the gospel of God, to whom does God address or offer his gospel, and vocation, calling, and election. Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. The mentality of perpetuating the calling and gifts to specific groups, including from generation to generation on the children of those who received the first calling, regardless of the posture that many had over the centuries, also became evident as not sustainable in the face of other aspects of the revelation of Christ Jesus to the world. In Christ, each person is placed individually in the body of Christ or the family of God, and each person, individually, continues to be associated with the gift of the Holy Spirit while also remaining associated with Christ as the head of one's life before God and men. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. 1 Corinthians 12:11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Therefore, we emphasize once again that the calling of God and the gifts of God are irrevocable in what they essentially are and for the purpose for which they are designed. But when someone intends to misuse them, the Lord, precisely to keep the calling and the gifts perfect and incorruptible, can perfectly and justly cease to manifest them to those who want to assign another purpose to each of the heavenly callings or gifts. When a person has a purpose of availing oneself of the gifts of God for evil purposes, it is no longer according to the divine purpose of the gifts of God that one acts when one claims to be working in the name of the Lord. And the Lord, in his righteousness, is not an accomplice of sin and the intent of the wicked. A person who tries to use the manifestations of the Holy Spirit for evil and perverse purposes does not please the Spirit of the Lord. And under these conditions, therefore, the Spirit of God is perfectly free not to manifest himself further in gifts through that person. We reiterate here, then, again, the importance of Christians paying attention to the fact that the gifts associated with the gospel of God are given, yes, by grace, but not under any circumstances. The gifts of God that accompany the gospel of Christ are offered to people for what is pertinent to life in the Spirit of the Lord, who, besides being the Spirit of grace, is also the Spirit of truth and who is given to Christians to bear in them the fruit of the Spirit and not the fruit of the flesh or life according to darkness. Like the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will never have a part in anything that is not bestowed to result in the glory of the Heavenly Father. God has irrevocably established that the call to justification, salvation, and life is accomplished by His grace, through the faith of those who believe in Christ Jesus as Lord, but also by His righteousness manifested according to His kindness. And the Lord will never remove the foundations of this calling or gift. God, irrevocably, established that the calling for His children to live and walk according to His purpose can be achieved through the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord will never dissociate this calling and purpose from the gift through which Christians can do it. God has established that the calling to live and walk in the gift of the Holy Spirit is also the way to live and walk in the other irrevocable gifts that are bestowed on His children. And this is also the path that the Lord will continue to point out as the path to be followed by each of His children. In the face of this, then, if a person insists on wanting to reach justification, salvation, the novelty of life, and heavenly gifts through other ways or in response to other callings to achieve them, even having already participated in God's callings that have unalterable or irrevocable characteristics, one puts oneself personally in a position of an extreme risk of being deprived of the fundamental callings and gifts of the Lord for one's life. Thus, something that every Christian should understand and firmly establish in one's heart is that the Christian life is to be lived in Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit, for what is lived apart from the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of God is not the expression of what the Christian life truly is. John 15, 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Romans 8, 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded, or inclined to the Spirit, is life and peace. Galatians 6, 8. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Finally, we understand that it is suitable to remember here that not every gift that seems to be from God is really from God, and not every sign or expression of power, said to be performed in the name of God, is indeed an expression of the gift of the Holy Spirit given to the children of God. Many expressions in the world that are denominated as manifestations of the Spirit of the Lord actually are actions of human strength or even the expression of spirits and forces of darkness, which, contrary to the gifts of God, do not work for the good. On the contrary, they act in an attempt to destroy those who are exposed to them, as the Scriptures warn us several times and of which we present some more examples below. Mark 13, 21-23. Then if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Christ," or, "Look, he is there," do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. But take heed, see, I have told you all things beforehand. 2 Peter 2, 1-3. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words, for a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9-10. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. When the Lord Jesus Christ taught the Samaritan woman about true worship or service to God, he said that this worship needs to be in spirit, but he also said that it would need to be in truth, for the spirit of truth does not act and does not take part in what is associated with deceit and lies. And this attention to the truth that the Lord makes known to us is also a crucial point for discerning what is indeed given by God and what only appears to be from God. A text more widely discussed in the theme works, labors, and services. John 4:23-24. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Zechariah 4:6. So he answered and said to me, This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Those who try to claim that God grants them the gifts of grace and salvation regardless of what they do, even when they despise the direction of life through the gift of the Holy Spirit, are those who want to unsettle or distort the ways of God's righteousness on which the Lord's grace is grounded. Therefore, understanding that God's calling and eternal gifts for our salvation and newness of life will never lose their characteristics of righteousness and holiness represents a central aspect of security for those who believe in the Lord and remain on the path that He points out to them. They can be sure that in what they are called to live and walk in the Holy Spirit, God will never forsake them nor change what He has firmly and eternally established. Just as the kingdom of God is unshakable, so everything that through this kingdom has been established as eternal is unshakable. In conclusion, then, we emphasize that Christians should never give way to propositions that subtly want to lead them to think that they do not need to be zealous in remaining in the Lord due to the supposed fact that at some point in their lives they received some gift from the Lord. Instead, for a Christian, what matters most is that one remains in the Heavenly Father, in Christ, in the Holy Spirit, and in the Lord's grace in the way that God offers and grants it to those who believe and remain in Him. Colossians 1:21-23. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy, and blameless, and above reproach in His sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Romans 5:19-6, 2. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? John 15:4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. 1 John 2:17. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Hebrews 12:28-29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. 2 Timothy 1:14. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord.